Hi guys, a beautiful morning to you all. Today's Bible reading taken from 2 Kings 3 and 2 Kings 4. And our memory verse taken from 2 Kings 4, verse 2. Your maidservant has nothing in her house but a jar of oil. Let's take a few moments to ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes, open our ears, and open our hearts to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is going to be saying to us today. Now, Jeroham, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel at Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and his mother, for he put away the sacred pillars of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he persisted in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He did not depart from them. Now Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, and he regularly paid the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. But it happened, when Ahab died, that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So King Jeroham went out of Samaria at that time and mustered all Israel. Then he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." Then he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "By the way of the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. And they marched on that roundabout route 7 days, and there was no water for the army, nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here, that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, "Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and prophets of your mother." But the king of Israel said to him, "No, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hands of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. But now, bring me a musician." Then it happened, when the musician played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you will not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley will be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hands. Also, you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall cut down every good tree, and stop up every spring of water, and ruin every good piece of land with stones." Now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered, that suddenly water came by the way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, all who were able to bear arms and all that were gathered, and they stood at the border. Then they rose up early in the morning, and the sun was so shining on the water, and the Moabites saw the water on this other side as red as blood. And they said, "This is blood. The kings have surely struck sword and have killed one another. Now therefore, Moab to the spoil." So when they came to the camp of Israel, Israel rose up and attacked the Moabites, so that they fled before them, and they entered their land, killing the Moabites. Then they destroyed the cities, and each man threw a stone on every good piece of land and filled it, and they stopped up all the springs of water and cut down all the good trees, but they left the stones of Kir Hareseth intact. However, the slingers surrounded and attacked it. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too fierce for him, he took with him 700 men who drew swords to break through the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son, who would have reigned in his place, and offered him as a burnt offering upon the wall, and there was great indignation against Israel. So they departed from him and returned to their own land. In this chapter, there are a number of things to pay attention to. The first thing to pay attention to is that we see that three kings gathered together to fight against one city, because that city rebelled against the king of Israel. In their pursuit to go and fight against the king of Moab, they realized that there was no water, there was no food, so their cattle was thirsty, and even they themselves were thirsty. And they started to think, this one that there's no provision. Hope is not that God wants to give us to the king of Moab and just make all three of us perish and our entire land. So they went to seek Elisha to know the heart of God concerning the matter. Lack is not synonymous to being out of the will of God. Sometimes you'll be on the journey where God has sent you, and then it will look like everything is not aligned to what God has said. It is now your responsibility to go back to God and say, God, you are the one that sent me. But the first thing which they were supposed to do, they did it last. So they were supposed to inquire of God first, for sure, before they now went on to the battle and to go and take over the land of Moab. But then they first went on. They saw that, there's a little bit of itch. Hope we're not going to go and give our lives to these people. So let me go and ask God. Let's ask God. God, are you on this with us in this matter? And this is the same thing that many of us do, even as Christians. We first go knee deep or neck deep before we now say, oh God, are you in this with us? Now you know to seek the face of God first. Another thing I saw from this chapter was the fact that Elisha said, bring me a musician. And when the musician played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. There is something about sound. There is something about songs that penetrates the soul and brings focus. This is why you need to be very conscious of the kind of songs that you listen to. You need to be very conscious of the kind of sounds that you listen to, because they can open up a portal in your soul to whatever it is that you are listening to. So if you are listening to a song that edifies, your spirit will be edified. But if you are listening to a song that speaks about negativity and death, it is exactly what you listen to that you will get. I really hope you can get something out of this chapter. We move on to the next chapter. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your servant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go, borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, and you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour in all the vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her sons, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is no another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. So it would be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. So he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my lord. Man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived, and she bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to his servant, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please, send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back." And he said, "Why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath." And she said, "It is well." Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you." And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?'" And she answered, "It is well." Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." So she said, "Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him. But lay my staff on the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, "The child has not awakened." When Elijah came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands, and he stretched out himself on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite woman." So he called her, and when she came in to him, he said, "Pick up your son." So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. And Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servants, "Put on the large pots and boil stew for the sons of the servants." So one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered from it a lapful of wild gourds, and came and sliced them into the pot of stew, though they did not know what they were. Now they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened, as they were eating the stew, that they cried out and said, "Man of God, there is death in the pot." And they could not eat it. So he said, "Then bring some flour." And he put it into the pot and said, "Serve it to the people that they may eat." And there was nothing harmful in the pot. Then a man came from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread, and newly ripened grains in his knapsack. And he said, "Give it to the people that they may eat." But his servant said, "What? Shall I set this before 100 men? He said again, "Give it to the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some leftover." So he set it before them, and they ate and had some leftover according to the word of the Lord. In this chapter, we see 3 instances. 3 things that we'll pick up from the 3 different lives of the 3 different peoples that were in this chapter. The first person that will pick out something from our life is the widow. The widow that came crying to Elisha and saying that, "Prophets, the creditors are about to come and take my son, and my husband is dead. He was the one that took the debt. So what will I do?" And he asked a question. He said, "Tell me, what do you have in your house?" She said, "Your maidservant has nothing in her house but a jar of oil." We read in the story of the tenants that when the businessman that gave some tenants to his servants before he left the country, he gave 1 5, gave 1 10, gave another 1 1. But then I'll be picking an example from the one that he gave only one. He gave one of his servants only 1 tenant, and this servant went to go and keep it and say, "In case my servant, my Lord comes back and says that, 'Oh, where is my money? Where is this? I know he's a wicked man.'" So he did not invest this money. He didn't do anything with it. And then the Bible further went to say that the one that had little but said he did not have any, what he had will be taken from him. There are many of us, we walk about thinking, oh, we don't have anything to offer. Oh, I don't have anything. No, just like this woman said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. What is that? Your own but. It is that your own but that will set you free. It is that your own but that will help you out of the situation that you are crying out loud for. What do you have in your hand? Just like God asked Moses, what is in your hand? He said, it's a rod now. But that was the rod that split the sea. That was the rod that he threw on the ground and became a snake. That was the rod that he used all through his life. So now I put this question to you again. What do you have in your hand? For you, it could be a skill. For somebody else, it could be an idea. To each of us, there is something in our hand. To each of us, there is a jar of oil. To each of us, there is a rod, just like the rod of Moses. What do you have in your hands? And make good use of it. Now, to the next story that we are going to be picking something from, was the story of the Shunammite woman. The Shunammite woman was a successful woman. So was her husband, a successful man. But then she noticed that, this man of God is always passing our side. Let's give him food to eat now. So she would always give him food whenever he passed around. And then she went further away to think, since he's always coming to eat, let's prepare a room for him that he will rest so that he can lay his back down, maybe read or stay overnight and then go when he wants to go. She asked her husband and they made provision for the room. All through the time when Elisha would go, Elisha would now think, this woman has been helping me. She has been giving me food. She even prepared a place for me, a upper room in her own house. What can we do for her? And then they looked at her life and they realized that she didn't have a son or a child. And she was getting old. Of course, that was one of her greatest desires. But then when they came to ask her, she said, don't give me false hope. I did not ask you for a child. I'm just doing it out of the goodness of my heart. Don't lie to me. And then Elisha prophesied that in 9 months, you would have a child. So she did. She kept on doing the good deed. Elisha would pass, go and eat, stay in the upper room. But then suddenly there was a time when this child had a headache and died. Something peculiar about this woman is, even in the situation that she was in, she spoke life. When her husband asked her what happened, she said, it is well. When Gehazi asked her, she said, it is well. It was until when she got to the feet of Elisha that she poured out her heart. She told Elisha, man of God, I did not ask you for a child though. You gave me prophecy about a child that I did not ask you for, and now the child is dead. What do I do? I did not beg you for this child though. And then Elisha went to go and raise the child. This is the same approach that we should all have. When God sends you on an errand or sends you on a mission, he's not promising you that everything will go smoothly, but he's promising you that I will be with you always and he will be holding your hand all through the storms. When you go through these things and you're like, God, you are the one that sent me. Show yourself faithful. Show forth yourself. You have a strong reason because God sent you on that errand. God was one that gave it to you. This is why many times you have to confirm properly that, God, are you in this with me? Because I know that if God is in this with me, no matter how hard the journey might be, I know that it will end up in victory because God sent me. So in all your endeavors, in all that you do, make sure that you have a word from God that I'm sending you. So when anything goes haywire, you're going back to God and say, God, now you send me. So it's either you help me or you help me. There is no case of you're not helping me. So help me. Now, the last thing that I want us to pick from this chapter is what happened amongst the prophets. They made a stew of wild gourds, and those wild gourds were poisonous. But then we see Elisha's reaction. Elisha did not even react as if they ate poison. He said, bring me some flour. And he threw some flour into it. And then he said, serve it to them. Nothing will happen. There's nothing harmful in the pot. Whatever you choose to see is what you will see. If you choose to see negativity, you will see negativity. If you choose to see positivity, you will see positivity. Are you telling me that the flour that he put inside it was one that neutralized the poison? No. It was his belief that nothing would happen to them. And in the real sense, nothing happened to them. This is why some people will see a problem and call it problem. But then some people will see a problem and call it an opportunity to create solution and make money. What are you seeing? Are you seeing negativity or an opportunity to rise? Are you seeing a problem or a challenge that would propel you to do better and to maximize your skills and to even go further and extend to whatever skills that you have? What do you see? What do you choose to see? Remember, we live by faith and not by sight. We serve a God that calls things that be not as though they were. We call things forth. We send forth our word, speak positivity, and that is exactly what we experience. So what are you speaking? What do you believe? And what do you choose to see? And this is how we end today's Bible study. Hope you guys have a great day. Feel the inviting the Holy Spirit into your daily activities. I love you, and Jesus loves you even more.